Is it okay if I move down there? You okay with that? Nope. Anna says nope. I want to be down here, number one, because I can preach down here a little bit better, I feel. But number two is because then I don't have to keep running up there when I need to check my notes. Because I figure I'm going to be down here anyway. I may as well just stay down here. This morning as we were talking to the kids, we were talking about selflessness. And Pastor's been doing this series on heroes. And he asked me if I would preach this morning, but then he also said, I'm not going to tell you what you have to preach, but I'm going to tell you what you need to preach on. I said, isn't that the same thing? And he said, no. He said, I want you to preach about a hero, but outside of preaching about a hero, you can preach on anything and anybody you want, but you have to keep with the hero theme. I said, okay. So I looked up and found five attributes of a hero. Five things that make a hero a hero. Now, I want everybody to think about a hero in your mind, and I want you to find out and think, does that hero attain these five attributes? Number five is they're caring. A hero is caring. Number four is patient. Number three is humble or shows humility. I'm going to skip number two because that's what we're going to speak on this morning is selflessness. And I'm going to go to number one, which is courageous. They're courageous. And then number two is selflessness. So number two is what we're going to speak on this morning is selflessness. But to be selfless, it means you have to put others before yourself. Right. Have you ever seen a hero walk into a room and go, I'm going to be the hero today? No. They don't walk into the room expecting to be the hero. It happens. There's times where we walk in and we see people, and you can see it all over the place. You look at it in the TV, on TV, or read in the paper that somebody gets called a hero and they say, oh, I'm not a hero. I was just helping out. I just happened to be in the right place at the wrong at the right time. And sometimes that hero will look and they'll say, I don't want to be called a hero. There's more people that are more worthy of that title than me. That's that hero becoming what? Selfless. They're becoming selfless. Because if they were selfish, then they would say, you're right, I am a hero. Get all big and stand up on a platform and puff their chest out a little bit. That's right, I'm a hero. Don't forget it. They walk around with that big bat. Get on the TV show, talk, and find out one thing. Basically, all came from just being selfish. This morning, we're going to speak on selflessness. And we have to understand that being selfless is not only a good thing, but it's also an attribute that's displayed in the Bible. The biggest advocate for selflessness was Jesus. He gave up his life for us. I will tell you, if something was to happen this morning and I was to give up my life for a church, then that would be called being selfless. But God didn't just give up his life for 60 people in a building. He gave up his life for his entire humanity. Every single person. Started talking the other day. I went to a field trip, and it was like a business kind of expo. And the kids would go in, and they would talk to people from colleges and careers, and they would do all these things. And one table was a guy who was all the way in the back, and he was a youth pastor, and he had this table set up, and he was talking to kids, and he said something to him, and he said, God came to save everybody. He didn't just walk in and say, I'm going to save everybody but Crystal. Crystal's not worthy enough to be saved. I'm going to save everybody in the room but her. No, he said, I came to save everybody. He came to lay his life down knowing that he was going to die for us. He came anyway to do that. At any point, like the enemy is trying to do, tempt him, at any point could have said, why don't you just stop doing what you're doing? No, it's really not worth it. But he became selfless enough to say, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing because there's somebody that I need to save. There's somebody I need to reach. If we look back at 9/11, as everybody else came filing out, selflessness ran in. People trying to get saved out of the building, people started running back to the fight instead of running away from it. Started running to where they needed to get help rather than running off from it. When they were talking in that little expo with that youth pastor, he said everybody was to be saved. He goes, but some choose not to. And after they got done talking, I looked at the youth pastor and I said, what would have happened if we would have used this analogy with him? And he said, the analogy would go like this. Right here this morning, there's one exit that way, and there's an exit this way. I said, if I was to look at him, and I was to come in here, and I was to say there's a fire, and the only exit is to go out that door, and I want everybody to follow me out that door. And somebody went out that door, they were able to be saved, but they chose not to. See, I came in to save everybody, to go out that door. But some are going to choose to go out that door and not be saved. That's the same thing that happened when God decided that he was going to send Jesus down to be selfless and say that I want the whole world to be saved. Everybody to be saved. Some of them are fighting against it and going out the wrong door because of their being selfish. They're trying to do it on their own. You see, selfishness gets you nowhere quickly. But selflessness gets you a lot farther than you could believe you could be. This morning, I want you to open your Bible with me. And we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And now I have not converted back. I am in the NLT. I know Pastor reads out of the New King James. I have my Bible in the NLT, but I'm going to read it for you from the New King James because that's what I put it in the scriptures like for that. Since Pastor's been doing that, I'm just going to read straight from the screen. And it says this in chapter 17, verse 21. It says, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up a battle array army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Next one. Try to keep up with me. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same word, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, then when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who came up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered to this manner, saying, so it shall be done for the man who kills him. Now, Eliab, I believe that's how you pronounce it, his oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and in and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" I want to pray this morning. God, we thank you for your word. God, I ask God this morning as we continue to move in this word, God, that you would speak to us and allow us to see something new in this word. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to continue reading. I'm going to read from the NLT, the verse 32 through 37. And this is what it says. "Don't worry about this Philistine." This is David talking. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Paul said. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he has been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted, "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears. I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the army of the living God." And then verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." What I want us to see this morning is four things. Number one, I want you to see this. Heroes don't run. Heroes don't run. David was a hero. When we read through this, we find out that David's a hero. Everybody else ran into the tent. They heard Goliath with his big loud voice yelling, and all of a sudden they took off running. "I got to get in here and hide. If I can only hide, he won't see me. If I can get in here and hide, he won't know I'm in my tent." I'm going to tell you, if you're on a battlefield and you see one side and another side, and there's nowhere for them to go except for in their tents, it's probably smart thinking that they're probably in the tents if you don't see them outside. So he could have just went and just said, "You know what? You guys don't want to fight me? That's fine. I'll just go in and destroy all of you. You're in your tents. It's slim, easy pickings. I could just walk in and just start clubbing everybody." But he didn't do that. He stood on his side of the field and yelled across. I want you to understand something. They weren't in a metal brick building. They didn't have a brick building on the outside with nice blue and light blue walls and a metal roof. And when somebody's outside yelling that they could not hear them, they were in a tent. So when he's talking, they may be running off, but they can still hear him. They can still hear everything he's saying. So they started running off, and all of a sudden, here comes David. What's going on? Who is this guy yelling at us? Can't we go fight him? And everybody else is scared. Well, he's humongous. There's no way we could take him out. There's no way we could do anything about him. And they ran and hid. But one person changed the entire story. Amen. One person changed everything about it. This entire story. You see, when everybody else is running away, heroes run to the fight. When everybody was running away from the hurricanes, there was people running towards the hurricane. Some of them weren't very smart because some of them were news people with cameras. But some of them went there for a specific reason. They went to help. They went to find out, what can I do to make this better? They went to help the people that were involved. They became heroes by rescuing and saving the people that were hurt, the people that needed out, that couldn't make it. Heroes don't run. Or what about in a fire? When you get a fire and everybody's running out of the house, somebody runs into the house. The fire department, the firefighters running into the house, they go into the house so that we can, number one, put it out, but number two, make sure that everybody else got out first. They become selfless. They don't worry about themselves at that moment. They worry about the person that may still be there. David went to the fight. David said, I'm not going to allow the enemy to come in here and mess up what God's got a plan for and just defile the God. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the fight instead of running away from the fight. Because if we listen and we read in this whole story, if we read the whole story, we would understand that for days that this has happened. It wasn't the first time. It's been days. Every time he comes out, we run away. Every time he comes in here, we run away. Do you understand that sometimes we do that? Sometimes we do that when the enemy comes, we start running away. Well, I can't go to church today. The enemy's battling me. You should be coming to church when the enemy is battling you. Don't say, I can't go to church today because I got a cold, because the enemy's trying to keep me from going to church. Well, that's an easy one. Go to church. We watched a video the other day. One of the guys that me and Anna follow on Facebook, he was going down from where he was at. He was going to preach, and he stopped in St. Louis. He's going to preach in Illinois. He stops in St. Louis. And as he stops in St. Louis, what happens? He stays at a hotel, and this crazy guy starts banging on their door at the hotel. Now, he's going to preach the next day. He's trying to figure out what's going on. What do I do? He finally decides that he's leaving the hotel and he's going to go away from where he was staying to get away from what happened. But here's what I want you to get. He didn't leave St. Louis and drive the other direction to go home. The enemy was trying to get into his head, was trying to distract him. So instead of leaving and going home, he left and went to where he was supposed to be preaching. He ran towards the fight. You don't want me to leave here in St. Louis. So instead of telling me that you want me to stay here and just have you pick on me all day, I'm going to leave and go where I'm supposed to be so that I can do what I'm supposed to do. Corey, I think you watched that too, so you know who I'm talking about. I got a couple of friends, and I'm going to see if I can do this. I'm trying to control the slide. I am not pastor. Please bear with me. He does this all the time, and I am very, very new. Abby, find the picture of me and the guys on the softball field. It'll be about two sections down. I got a couple of friends. I invited them to come this morning. Unfortunately, they weren't able to make it. They all go to their own church, and most of them had prior commitments. But I want to show you something. The guy standing just to my left, his name is Adam. And Adam works as the fire marshal. His whole job is to go in and investigate why a fire happened. When people run out of the house to get out, as soon as the fire's out, he's one of the first ones in. His job is to basically go figure out what happened. Why did this fire take place? What was the purpose? How did it start? Where did it start? But his other thing is this. How do I prevent it from happening again? When everybody else is running away, he runs in. Just like David. When everybody else was running away from Goliath, he ran in. But he does the same thing because he goes in to figure out, one, why it happened. He goes to figure out how to prevent it the next time. If we realize that we can stop the enemy from working around in our lives just by running to the battle that he's created. That's good. Because when David runs to the battle, he doesn't run by himself. He runs with God on his shoulders. So when he runs with God on his shoulders, all of a sudden now it stops everything that was supposed to happen from happening, and he prevents it from happening the next time. Point number two. The closest people to you may not understand. Do you realize that David's brothers did not understand the whole reason he was there? They didn't even know that he brought food to them. All they thought was, he's just here to be a pain in my butt. That's his whole job. He's just here to just investigate what's going on. He's such a little punk kid that he's just here just to be nosy. You ever gotten in the middle of your job and all of a sudden somebody comes in that doesn't really know a whole lot and they're just starting to yak at you and talk to you and you're like, would you please just go away? You're just here being nosy. He used to pull into the church, and I'm not saying here, but he used to pull into the church and you'd walk in and there's nobody here and all of a sudden like two or three people show up. Hey, can I help you? No, just seeing what you're doing. I'm working. What else am I supposed to do? I'm working. But here's the thing. David didn't just run there because he wanted to. David was placed on assignment. He was placed on assignment by his dad to bring his brothers food. But not only was he placed on assignment by his dad, he was placed on an assignment from his heavenly Father who put him there on purpose. And that is the whole reason why his brothers didn't get it. They didn't understand that he was placed there by God. They just thought he was there just to be a pain. Sometimes we can go into places and our family just doesn't get it. They don't understand. I have my mom here, my stepdad's here, and I pick on people when I preach, and everybody knows that. I'm going to pick on my mom for a second. I love doing what I do. I love talking to teenagers and preaching. And when I was a kid, she told me she knew I was going to do this. But there's things she just doesn't understand. And she knows that. We've talked about it. There's reasons why you can't just up and leave and go somewhere else on a Sunday morning when your wife does the piano and you have to preach. You can't just up and leave. There's a lot of times I would love to go drive 4 hours and go home. But when I turn around and look at a Friday night or a Saturday that I could leave on Friday, and there's a big family event Saturday that starts at 7, I can't stay there until 10 o'clock and then turn around and drive 4 hours and be ready for Sunday morning church. I just can't. But there's people in family who are going to look at you and say, I don't understand. I don't get it. In this situation, his brothers didn't understand why he was there because they didn't get the whole point of him being there. Because they weren't in the field worshiping God when he was in the field worshiping God. They weren't prepared to be where they were at by God. They were prepared by somebody else. I want to introduce you to somebody this morning. I want to introduce you to Dixie. The very first picture there, Abby. This is Dixie. Dixie is a canine police dog in Marine, Illinois. Dixie's whole job at number one is to protect her partner at all times. Her second job, not only to protect her partner, but her second job is she is a drug sniffing dog. She has been trained for what she does. Her partner is the chief of police in Marine, Illinois. His name is Officer Chris Singleton. He's up here, the next slide. Now, Chris has been my friend for a long time. When I get the chance to go home and I go to the church my parents attend that I used to go to, when I see Chris, we get a chance to talk to each other a little bit. We get a chance to say, hey, what's going on? But we also had a chance a couple of months ago for me to go sit and ride with him in the police car and talk. Now, I'll tell you, when I get in the car, the police dog doesn't like me in the car. The police dog barks almost every time I get out and into the car. Gets mad because I'm in the car. I'm not supposed to be. I'm next to her partner. I'm not supposed to be. I can't pop him over on the shoulder because she's in my ear yakking, yelling at me, telling me not to do that. At times I wish I had a police dog and I wouldn't get punched on as much. But here's the thing. She's been trained to do what she's called to do. Go to the next picture. This is her a couple of months ago or a couple of weeks ago. Finding drugs on a stop. She's proud of what she did. Because when she does what she's supposed to do and she does it right, she gets a reward. David went to get a reward, not from Saul, but he went so that God could have the ultimate reward. He followed what God wanted him to do so that God got glorified, not himself. If David would have went and said, I'm going to fight that giant because I want the king's daughter, that would not be selflessness, that'd be selfishness. We wouldn't be talking about David a hero. We would be talking about David, the guy who killed the giant. Because all he wanted was the stuff that he would have gotten. Dixie gets stuff when she catches people. When she catches the bad guy, she gets stuff. More than likely, and most of the time, she gets just a ball. Chuck her the ball, she's happy. She's excited, she's got the ball. But Dixie does her job. Go to the next picture. This is a pretty big job. She got a little bit bigger prize. But here's what happens. Chris got her when she was a puppy. And he trained her. He doesn't just train her as a puppy to listen to him, but he also trains her to be prepared to do her job. David, when he was out in the field, getting ready to go fight Goliath, told Saul that when a lion and a bear came, I had already taken care of it. Which means he had been prepared by God before placed where he had to be. Do you understand that God is preparing and placing you in a specific place for you to do something specific for him? You might be here this morning and have a call to do something that you're not doing right now, but God has prepared you and putting you here for a moment. David wasn't a rookie fighter. He knew what he was supposed to do. When Chris takes Dixie out, he doesn't just take her out and say, go drug sniff something. He prepares her. He speaks into her ear, telling her what she needs to do, giving her commands, telling her, stop doing that, don't do that, stop, sit, wait, hold on, giving her the commandments, giving her the things that she needs to know so that she doesn't get hurt when she's on the job. His job is to protect her. David had been out in the field, and God gave David the tools he needed to survive by placing them where he needed them to be.
That's right.
Number one is this, that David praised God so that way God could get the recognition when he fought the giant. David praised God so he knew when it came time for him to defeat the giant that he knew to turn the praise over to God and not keep it for himself. Do I have another picture of them? I don't think I do. That may be the last one. I think that's it. David was trained. Look at verse 34 through 36. It said, but David persisted, I have taken care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both bears and lions. Can we understand something? When David talks here, I realized this the other day. I was talking to my wife. He doesn't say when a lion and a bear. He said S at the end, which means he was tested not one time, but multiple times. It wasn't his first rodeo to go after this lion. He did it multiple times. He didn't just take one bear down. He took down multiple bears. So when God put him in a place for him to succeed and beat Goliath, he had been already tested and won. So he knew, I can do this. But he did one thing different than anybody else. He knew that he could do it, but he could only do it with God's help. Because Saul tried to put all take all stuff. Use my stuff. What would happen? What would happen? Come here. No, not you. You. Stephen. What would happen if we took David here and we said, we're going to put you in the fight and you're going to take out Goliath? You ready?
Yep.
Go get him. That makes no sense. First of all, we don't even have a Goliath. So, Junior, come here. Come here. I told you I pick on people. Not that Junior, this Junior. Not that one, that one. So, you're going to take this guy out. Okay? Good luck. That didn't work very well. So now, here, ready? So now we say, here comes David. We're going to put you in the fight, but you have to wear my stuff.
That's too big. I don't need that stuff.
Put this on.
Okay. It's too big. I can't wear this.
All right. So. That's not going to work. David looks at Saul and he goes, I can't wear your stuff. I haven't tested it yet. Do you understand what he said? He didn't say, I can't wear it because it doesn't fit me. I haven't tested this. David fought Goliath with something he had already tested in the field. You guys can sit down. David fought Goliath with something he had already tested out to make sure that he could still do it. What would have happened if he ran at Goliath with a club? That same club that he had knocked out the bear with. Or I should say multiple bears. Or the same club that he knocked out the lions with. He'd have walked in and gone, come on, big boy. This has already knocked out a couple of big skulls. I'll take yours out too. But instead, he walked out and he picked up stones and his slingshot and walked out. He took something he was comfortable using and allowed God to use him. I'm going to say something this morning. There's some people in here that are really scared when God asks you to do something and to use what he's given you because you're not testing it first. We're not testing it. We're just sitting back going, oh, I could do it. I could do it without that. I'm going to tell you, if we're not testing out what God's got for us, we can't use what he has for us to use. We have to test it. David was prepared to lay his life down in reckless selflessness if need be. But he had trust that God was going to take him through. Because he says it. He said it all along. If I go and take this guy out, I'm going because God's got me going there. That's my abbreviated version. And I'm allowed to because I'm the one preaching. If you're going to send me to go do it, and God's sending me to go do it, I'm going to do it with him. He didn't look at him and say, dude, I got this. No big deal. David's walking out there. No, he said, I'm going out there, but I'm going with God on my side. Yeah. And I don't have to worry about having 50 guys behind me who trust it, that it's going to happen. I just know all I have to do is say, I'm going with God. And I'm going with God. And I'm going with God. He may have said it the entire time. Do you guys know why he picked up 5 stones? You want to know the best part about why he picked up 5 stones? He hit Goliath with 1. He had 4 more in his pocket. It's because Goliath had 4 big brothers that were just the size that he was. And he said, if I can knock him down, wait till I get a hold of the brothers because I'm going to knock them out too. He was ready because God had already used him to knock out multiple bears. Multiple lions. If he'd only killed 1 lion and 1 bear, he'd only grabbed 1 stone and said, that's it. I'm just taking this guy out and I'm not worried about the rest. But instead, he pulled out 5 so he could kill him and his brothers. Now, we're going to talk about the opposite. This is the part where I step on feet. Just pull your shoes up a little bit. You'll be fine. Jackie come in this morning. She said, I got to get me some shoes with some toes in them because my feet are freezing. So all she has on is flip-flops and sandals. So if anybody's got a pair of shoes, go see Jackie over there. The third point is this. David could have been selfish. He could have been. He had every right to be selfish. When his brothers looked at him and said, you're just here to cause trouble, that somebody inside of him could have raised up and gone, you know what? I'm not here to cause trouble, and I'll show you. I'll kick his butt without anybody's help. He could have been selfish. He could have gotten a little bit of pride for himself and gone, you know what? Fine. I'm going to go kick his butt. And you know what would have happened? The Philistines would have went down there and taken over all the Israel's camp. Because of his selfishness, it would have completely changed this entire story. And I don't 100% know that if he would have lost the battle because of selfishness, that would have been in here. But he was selfish. In another version that we read a little bit farther down the line. Pastor touched on it last week, and I told him, I said, don't mess up my message. told me when he was wanting me to preach, and I told him what I was preaching on, and then last week he touched on it, and I was like, stop it. Have you ever, my wife, she makes these freezer meals, and her and Beth spend about 4 hours on Thursday making freezer meals that go on a crock pot for the next week. So for the whole next week, we already know what we're eating. It's in the freezer. You take it out, you put it in the crock pot, a couple hours later, it's ready to go, and that's what we have for dinner. It's great. I don't even have to cook. She's already done all the work. It's really simple. Unless she forgets to turn it off, and then she burns it. Which happened last week. She turned it on and forgot to take it out. And when I got home, it was crispy on the inside. And it had some soupy stuff in it, and I'm not sure that it was supposed to be soup. But what happened was this. When she makes those, she does all the work. All I have to do is take it out of the refrigerator, put it in the crock pot, turn it on, let it cook, serve it, and we're eating dinner. That's it. That's all I got to do. But what happens when my kids, my wife's not home, and my kids get ready to eat, and they go, man, Dad, this is good. This is so good. Wow, I can't believe this is really good. And they just start eating it. I could be like, I know. I slaved all day over a hot stove for this meal. My mom is the queen of that statement. She will look at you and get something like, man, this is really good. I know. I worked so hard on it. These cookies are great. That is her. Okay? She makes the cookies. We're good. But it's when she gets something and just puts it out on the plate. We were telling a story last night. My grandma, I believe it was my grandma, could not make potato salad for nothing at all. And when they had a church function, she would take the potato salad from the store and take it and put it in a brand new container and put a little bit of topping on it and cover it up and take it. And they thought it was the best potato salad in the world. She didn't even do anything. But she took the credit for it. That's being selfish. David could have been selfish. He could have said, I'll go and do it. But instead, he said, God's going. I'm just there to have him use me. But when he was selfish, we read a little bit farther down that David became selfish one day when he saw Bathsheba taking a bath and decided he wanted her to be his wife instead of being with the one who is supposed to be with. That's when he went from stud beating Goliath to dud. That's when he went from being a conqueror to being defeated. Because he allowed a selfish moment to overtake him, and then all of a sudden, that's what made David sin. You have to understand, we can go from selfless to selfish very quickly. This morning, somebody is going to walk up to me this morning after hearing me preach, and I guarantee they're going to look at me and they're going to say, Pastor Brian, that was a great message. Thank you. And I can do two things. I could say, oh, thank you very much, which most of the time that's what I say. Or I could say, that was God. It wasn't me, it was God. It's hard for me to say, thank you very much, because I will criticize myself the entire time. After this message, I will go home and sit there for 3 hours and criticize everything I said and did. I'll listen to it again and I'll be like, it was terrible. And my wife will be like, just stop. But I could be selfish when somebody comes up to me. Brother Brian, that was very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You're welcome. No problem. Oh yeah, you know, get big and puff myself up. But that doesn't happen. Why? Because I know it wasn't me, it was God. It was God allowing me to do what he's called me to do, and I have to give the credit back to him. This morning, I think I may be embarrassed him a little bit, but when I was talking about Logan and talking about Adam, I saw as I watched, and as I said, congratulations to Adam and Logan, and Logan standing there like this with his head down, just like this. Nobody look at me. Don't say anything. Because number one, Logan would probably tell you, it wasn't just Logan and Adam that won the game. They had to have an entire team play. If Drew wasn't playing in goal, they would have lost. Because there were some shots he had to stop. If Logan wasn't playing defense, the ball would have got farther than it was supposed to, and they probably would have scored. If Adam wasn't shuffling his feet and running, he would be fine, and they probably would have done something different. I love Adam. He's great. Adam was texting on his phone earlier. I come up and said, I can't read that. I said, it's not in the language I understand. Can you fix it for me? He goes, nope. Okay. But here's what we have to get. That could have been a selfish moment for them to just go, thank you. We're so excited. I look back at Jennifer when I said the band did theirs, and she's going. One reason, because she said this. She said, we didn't do very well. They got first place, but she saw their weaknesses. She saw what they could fix to make it better next time. Instead of being selfish and going, we won, puffing ourselves up, getting excited, all of a sudden we say, there's a different way we could have done that. We can get better. David became selfish farther down in the scripture. When he got older, he became more selfish. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand being selfish and selfless and how fastly those things can turn around. We watch all the time as sports players get interviewed. And the first thing they do is they say, you did this, 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 and this. How did you guys win this game? Why did they ask that question? They started with you did and then went to how did you guys? Because they want them to take credit for the win, when really it's a whole team game. I like NASCAR. Dwayne's at NASCAR this morning. But if you listen to the interview at the end, they're going to ask the driver, how did you make this happen? How did you win? And his first thing is going to be, I can't just say it's me. I have to thank the people that helped me. I have to thank the crew chief. I have to thank the guys in the that were changing the tires. I have to thank my sponsors. I have to thank this guy. I got to thank the guy who tested the tire 6 months ago at the track just to make sure it was right. They can go from being selfless to selfish in a moment. We see all the time when these sports players get up there and they talk all about I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And they went from a selfless moment where they could say, it's not just me, it's a whole team, to I did it all by myself. I did it just me. My son looked at me this morning, and he said, Dad, look, I cut my pancakes all by myself. I said, great. And he goes, Papa showed me how to do it. So Papa helped, but he took all the credit. That's becoming selfish. That's when we say it's all about me now. And when all about me changes to all about all of us, our selfishness makes us selfless. You see, we can be selfless really quick. And we can be selfish a lot faster. It's hard to figure out the two. But it can happen. The enemy is always going to give you an opportunity to be selfish. He's always going to give you an opportunity to boast about you. Especially when you're doing something for God. When people come up and they get prayed for and they fall out in the spirit. I got people that come up to me all the time. Thanks for what you said. I appreciate you praying for me. It wasn't me. That was God doing it. He just used me. So all I tell them is, wasn't me, it was God. It wasn't me, it was God. God's the one who did it. He used me, but he's the one who did it. Selflessness reflects the praise onto somebody else. If we're selfless and we don't think about us, we start thinking about other people. I'm going to get to my fourth point. Before she throws it up there, I want to say this. This is where, right here, this last point, is where Saturday becomes so much more than just having people in our yard. Because we could have fun Saturday, and we can sell pulled pork, and we could sell funnel cakes, and we could sell soda, and we could have people out here and have 500 people around our church. And that could be a moment for us to be like, look at all the people that came to Souls Harbor Church and show selfishness. It's all about how we can reach that person. Do we want to reach them? Yes. Do we want to speak to them? Yes. But is that the point we're trying to make? No. We're not going to be selfish on Saturday. We're going to be selfless. If you have any involvement in Night of Heroes, whether that's collecting coats or helping with the carnival games or helping with food or anything like that, I just want you to raise your hand. If you have involvement in Night of Heroes, all of these people have their hands up. In one way, shape, or another, they have influence on the people that are going to be around them. They have an opportunity to not be selfish, but be selfless. Go to the fourth point. The fourth point is this. Our selflessness allows us to be thankful. We can be thankful because we're selfless. When we don't sit and think about just me all the time, that's when we're able to be saying, thank you for what you did. Thank you for doing that. There's times I walk in to a restaurant and I see a table full of military guys. And I may not be able to pay for their food, but walking up and just saying, hey guys, thank you for what you do, that does a lot. You know why they don't take it very well? And why they just go and kind of just, because not everybody's saying it to them. I started training my kids. When you see a police officer, when you see a military person, you need to tell them thank you. I took my son one day. We went to Walmart. And there was a military guy walking out of Walmart. We're walking in, and he goes, Dad, look, military guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, man. He goes, I got to go over there. I was like, okay, go over there. So he goes over there, little bitty Eli, just barely tall enough to spit the words out. All of a sudden, he's talking to this military guy. This guy looks at me, and he just gives me this big smile on his face. And he goes, thanks, Dad. Why did he say thanks, Dad? Because I trained my son to do something to show honor to somebody else and not worry so much about me, but worry about somebody else. Yeah. Our selflessness, not worrying about us, but worrying about others, allows us to be thankful for people. Go to that slide with the guys on it on the softball field. I'm going to finish talking about these guys. The guy to my left there is Adam. We already talked about him. The guy next to him holding the baby is Jacob Peterson. He's a police officer in Chillicothe. The guy next to him, a lot of people already know, that's John Maples, police officer, who also, by the way, I can say this, we need to be praying for John Maples because on Monday he has an interview for the next chief of police in Chillicothe. He also was supposed to be here, but he's at his church playing drums. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a Christian police chief? Go back to Jacob. Jacob's actually was a youth pastor at one time and is in the police department now. He's actually one of the chaplains at the police department. A pastor for the police department. I met these guys working out at the Y, playing basketball. I walked in to the locker room, changing my clothes. Eli was in there getting ready to go swimming. One of the guys comes in. He's got on a Christian t-shirt. Eli goes, hey, that's a good one. He's like, I like this verse, and had a verse on it. Eli said he liked it. We walked out. Eli went to the pool, and I went over and was playing basketball all by myself. Those three guys right there, I talked about them often. I tell the teenagers all the time. Those three guys right there invited me to play basketball with them. And for 5 weeks, we played basketball every Monday night. Just this last couple of months ago, I was able to play on the police officers versus the fire department softball game. the charity softball game. I was able to play for the police department. Now, I was going to reveal my Batman shirt, but I was going to take my shirt off and show my police department shirt that I got for playing in the game. I didn't wear it this morning. But those three guys have been impacted, but they've also impacted me. They've given me a chance to not only be able to talk to them, but also to talk to the other guys on the police department. I was able to go on a ride along with John Maples. The first thing we did is he picks me up. We get ready to go, and he goes, "Hey, by the way, we're not going to be running back out to do anything." He goes, "We're actually going to eat." I'm like, "Sweet, I like to eat." So we go to Taco Bell, we pick up Taco Bell, we go back to the police station, and we're sitting at the police station, and all the guys are sitting around the table. None of the other guys do I know. I only know him. And we're sitting there eating, and we just start talking, and we're cracking jokes. And now anytime they drive by, they look at me, they wave, they say hi. No big deal. Excuse me. But the main thing is this. A moment of selflessness went a long way. Because now, when I see them, it's not just, "Hey, there's a police officer." Now it's a person of contact. I know who they are. But I'm also there to give them that little bit of thank you when they go through a major battle. About a month or two ago, we had a situation. And the two guys on the far right were involved in this situation. And the first thing I did when I found out who the guys were is I sent them a note. And I just said, "I just want to encourage you. I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. Let you know that I'm thinking about you. If you need something, let me know. If there's something I can do, please tell me." It didn't take much for me to do that. That took me not being selfish to step out. But the one thing that I will understand, and I see it all the time, I see it with Chris, the guy that with the dog, I see it with these three guys. You see it with military, you see it with the EMS, you see it with anybody that is in service. The hardest thing for people to do is walk up to them and say thank you for what you do. Because we're so selfish about us all the time. And you know what happens when we're selfish? We don't become selfless and say thank you to them, which makes it harder for them to receive it. You know why they're hesitant about coming to a Night of Heroes event? It's because they're hesitant about receiving thank you for something. Because there's not a lot of people telling it to them in the first place. They're going to be here. Saturday, they're going to be here. I'm hoping all three of those guys show up. Adam's already told me he's coming. John's already said he's coming. I'm hoping that Jacob comes. But the main thing is we have to realize that we have to push selfishness out of the way and allow ourselves to be selfless and say thank you to the people who protect us and help us. Yeah. Every day. Yeah. They help us every day. Yeah. Every day I drive by and I see EMS out doing what they're doing. I see the military out doing what they're doing. I see police officers out doing what they're doing. There'll be times I call John. He won't answer. 25 minutes later, 30 minutes later, he calls me. I'm like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" He goes, "Oh, just had to help some car, you know, do this." Okay, cool. A couple months ago, they were out corralling chickens in the middle of Washington Street. They do what their job asks them to do. And they don't get a lot of praise for it. Because we become very selfish instead of selfless. What would happen if Saturday we pushed our selfishness aside for 4 hours and we gave honor where these guys deserve the honor that they're due? We're going tomorrow. I'm hoping to be able to go get it and pick it up. But we're going to get a plaque tomorrow. And the plaque is for Chief Knaus, who just retired after 40 years. At the police department. And we saw him a couple weeks ago, and we saw him and we asked him if he would please come. And he's going to be here on Saturday. And we're going to present him with a plaque from Souls Harbor Church just saying thank you for 40 years of being chief of police and all the work that you did. 17 years as chief of police in Chillicothe. 40 years as a police officer. It doesn't take us much. It may cost us a little bit of something. It's going to cost us a little bit of money to be able to do that. This event is not coming free. It's costing us something. But we're not being selfish about it. If we were selfish about it, we'd say we want you to pay for everything you're doing. The only thing we're asking people to pay for this week as we're doing that, the only thing we're asking them for is to buy the concession stand stuff. You could come with $0 and leave here with a lot. Because there's going to be candy, there's going to be carnival games, there's going to be stuff to do around the place. You could have fun without having to spend a single dollar. But how much more would it be for us to not be selfish and to say thank you to those men and women who are going to be here that have served and protected us at the moment that we needed them the most? I didn't read anything in there about the end of David, about what happened after he cut Goliath's head off. Selfishness would see him being picked up on the shoulders of all the guys and parading him through town. But selflessness would have gone, I'm going to give God glory for this. I'd say he probably did that. He wouldn't have gone, thank you, it was all me. He'd have said, I didn't do it, God did it. When we are selfless and we don't worry about ourselves, we don't have to worry so much about who gets the credit, because we know that we're giving the credit to God. To be truly selfless is to have an attitude and then have the attribute that is not easy, but it's rewarding. What would happen if we left here this morning, not thinking about us, not thinking about where we could go or what we could have done, but leave here with the thought that it's all about God doing something through me and him getting the praise back for it? Because if we get the credit, it was us doing it. If we get the credit, it was us. If God gets the credit, it was him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. This morning I'm going to ask you just a simple question. I'm going to ask you just a simple question this morning. The question is this. If I was to ask you if you have a hard time being selfless, would you be honest and say, yeah, that's me? I have a hard time being selfless. I have a hard time recognizing other people.